Fourth and final hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. Let's head out to Seattle. Let's learn a little bit more about the Seahawks team that the Titans are trying to get their first win of the season against. John Clayton is on the line with us on Twitter, at John Clayton NFL, host out there for 710 ESPN in Seattle. He now joins us. John, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing fantastic. Look, Seattle was the favorite against Indianapolis, just so you know. Titans fans were rooting for the Seahawks against the Colts. They went out there or went to Indy, and they took care of business. Like I said, they were the favorite, so people did expect them to win. But did you expect them to win in the fashion that they did? They made it look pretty easy.
Yeah, they really did. They looked. I mean, I thought they were about as efficient as any team in the NFL in week one, because certainly – and that's the thing that they never got credit for, because a lot of people picked them for like third place in the division, and some even picked them to be fourth place. But they've improved with their pass rush. You know, they've added Kerry Hyder. You know, they got Daryl Lawrence, who has done a great job, from a second round pick from last year, who looks good. You can see they're faster at the linebacking core. You can look and see on offense. They've got a better tempo, you know, with the new offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, coming over with that Rams offense. You know, Russell Wilson gets rid of the ball quicker. You're able to get the outside zone runs and all those different things. And, you know, Gerald Everett looks great at the tight end position. So they really look good, and they absolutely destroyed the Colts.
Yeah, they really did. Felt like Russell Wilson was running for his life a lot last year. You just talked about the new offensive coordinator, Russell Wilson trying to get rid of the ball faster. But their offensive line, how has it looked thus far through camp, preseason, and week one of the NFL season?
Well, it looked great in week one. I mean, you know, I can't say how it looked in the preseason because they didn't play. I mean, yeah. They kept the starters out, so it's like you know, nobody saw what they could do. You know that Dwayne Brown didn't do anything until the last week of the preseason, just because he was a hold-in, and they, you know, did a restructure of his contract, and so now he was able to go. But the offensive line looked great. I mean, the big thing is, even though they don't have their starting center in Ethan Posick, who now went on injured reserve, you know, Kyle Fuller did a good job, but they're so good at the guard position. You know, they've got Gabe Jackson, who they picked up in a trade with the Raiders. You know, they've got Damian Lewis, who, you know, came out and was one of the better rookie guards last year. So that makes it a little bit easier for the center position, but the line looked good. But again, that's the first game they've been on the field.
John, you've been covering this league for a long time, so you know how preseason typically works. It's a tricky dynamic for coaches. Here, Mike Vrabel chose not to play really any of the starters. So Tannehill and Henry and A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and all those guys, Taylor Wan, none of them were out there in preseason, never touched the field. Green Bay Packers didn't put any of the starters out there. Ravens did. Some of them got hurt. John Harbaugh had to answer all those questions. Tampa Bay and Kansas City were in the Super Bowl. They chose to play their starters for preseason games 2 and 3. Where are you at? How would you handle? What is the right mix or the right approach in your mind of really what you should or shouldn't do when it comes to your starters in preseason?
Well, I think that you can see that the preseason stuff and the preseason games are starting to work to a point where at some point they're going to have to be eliminated, because, again, it's like you know, you get injuries and you suffer the injuries and all that stuff, but you need to get on the field just to try to test out things, particularly if you have a coaching change, if you have a lot of changes on your offense, your defense, and all those different things. But, you know, there was it was weird because in the first week of the preseason, 522 players did not play. In week two, it was 565. And then in week three, it was 591. And so more and more each week, less players played and less starters played. And so it's like, but then you go up and down and look at the list, because I was just going through this yesterday, is that you know, a lot of the teams that didn't play their starters came out and lost the first week. I mean, you saw how bad Green Bay looked. I mean, they looked terrible. And so it's like, you know, I think you need to do some things, but not everything.
How good is the 1-2 punch of DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett?
Maybe not as good as Tampa Bay with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, but right up pretty close to that, because You know, Lockett is such an amazing route runner. He makes incredible catches. I mean, DK Metcalf is an absolute freak. But as far as wide receiver duos, it's one of the top two in football, maybe the second best.
Talking to John Clayton, talking some Seahawks with him. Pete Carroll turned 70 yesterday, and I was reading some things about that. He feels great, you know, doesn't look his age, and you know, I've been around Pete a couple times at the combine, and certainly doesn't. But he shows no sign of slowing down at all, even though he just hit a milestone birthday.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, he keeps himself in great shape. I mean, you can see how thin he is. He wears the khaki pants and all those different things. But I mean, I think, you know, his thinking is he could probably coach till he's 75, if not a little bit longer. I mean, he's always mentioned Marv Levy, who coached till he was 72. But you can see that, you know, with the 5-year extension that he signed, that Pete is going to coach longer than that as far as his age. But again, he's so, you know, up to date. I mean, he's such a fun coach for the players to play for. And, you know, he has such a good system that he's going to continue to last and last and last.
You know, so much gets, you know, you were talking about the offense and Russell Wilson, and so much gets made about that and, you know, the Legion of Boom not being the Legion of Boom anymore. But this defense, I think, deserves, you know, more credit than maybe it gets. Jamal Adams coming in last year, what he's added to it, Trey Flowers, Bobby Wagner, of course, still being there. But overall, do you think that this defense deserves a little more credit, even though maybe it's not the same as it was years ago?
Yeah, it's never going to equal what it was in 2013, but it's a good defense. And that's what people, you know, kind of shied away from nationally. They kept on, you know, looking negatively because of the bad start that it had on defense. But once they picked up Carlos Dunlap in the move last year, they started getting the sacks to a point where they ended up with 46 sacks. And you looked at the first week, I mean, you know, here's a good Colts offensive line. Sure, they were missing their top two left tackles, but, I mean, they destroyed that offensive line. You know, because, again, you know, they've got Kerry Hyder, they've got Benson Mayoa, you know, they've got Daryl Taylor. I mean, they've got so many pass rushers, and they've been, even the defensive tackles played so well. So, no, and it's faster at linebacker, got two Pro Bowl safeties. It's a good defense.
Yeah, and you mentioned Dunlap. I mean, he's I think you said it best of what he brought to the defense. But what do you think is still there for him as he's back this year?
Well, I mean, you know, the way they played him, I didn't know if they were going to start him or what they were going to do. But they basically brought him in on passing downs. But they have such a deep group and such a good rotation that, you know, they don't have to overplay anybody. They can just go ahead and try to you know, mix and match and, you know, go through the games and all that stuff and keep everybody fresh. And he was fresh. I mean, you can see him in the fourth quarter. He was getting most of the pressures in the fourth quarter. So it's a good group. And Carlos Dunlap was such a great acquisition.
Talking to John Clayton and talking a little Seahawks here as the Titans get ready for the matchup out there. John, you mentioned just how impressive the entire division looked like on Sunday. And, of course, we saw it firsthand here with the Cardinals just shredding the Titans from start to finish pretty much. Give me your thoughts how the Seahawks match up with the teams. There were so many intriguing matchups, in particular late in the season between the Seahawks and the Rams. We see how the Rams have upgraded at quarterback. So how do you think they stack up with how the adjustments were made in the offseason?
I think they're the best team in the division. I thought that all along. A lot of people nationally didn't agree with me, but I think they're the best team in the division. And the reason I think they're the best team in the division is that they've got such a good group. And, of course, I mean, the offense with a new offensive coordinator and the tempo and everything, but also on defense, I think that you can see that they're that much better. So overall, I think that even though the Rams are right up there and very close, Arizona certainly now looks like more of a 9-10 win team. You know, San Francisco looks like they're going to bounce back, but I worry about their injuries because they continue to get injuries. And last year they led the league with 131 missed starts. But what you're looking at is four possible teams in this division that are Pro Bowl caliber teams or that are playoff caliber teams.
I'm not a math major, but you do wonder. You feel like all four of those teams are good enough for sure. I just don't know if the math works. That would be a really amazing thing to have a four-team division and all make it.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. But also, I mean, when you look around the NFC. I mean, you know, the NFC East didn't have a winning team last year. You look at the NFC North, and if Green Bay, you know, even though they'll bounce back and beat Detroit this week, but you look at the NFC North, and they went 0-4 last week. And of course, you look at the all the other. I mean, it's really, how good is the NFC South? I mean, you've got Tampa Bay, no question about it. New Orleans had a great win over Green Bay, but they're down 10 starters.
Hmm. John, leave us with this. It's going to be the first game, I guess, with the full fans in that real special building out in Seattle. And I know they've got the vaccination thing. Do you feel like you're going to see, for the first time in a long time, the 12th man, the whole thing that you expect when you go out there? We were just talking to Dave Wayman, or Wyman, yesterday, the radio analyst, and he was talking about how many great games there were last year in Seattle, but, mm-hmm. of course, there were no fans.
Yeah, but I saw it in the preseason because they had full fans in the preseason, and I think it's going to be huge. Now, the only problem is going to be there could be a lot of rain and maybe thunderstorms and things of that nature, and so that could play an effect. But, no, I think the fact that they have the fans, because, again, the fans are about as loud as any in the league. I mean, that's why they have led the league in false starts since the stadium opened. So, no, I think the fans are going to play big into this. It just depends on how that rain's going to be.
So you think that there could be the traditional, we've seen it many times before, the rainy Seattle afternoon, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Very interesting. John, always great to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time. Can't wait to get it going here on Sunday, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, sounds good.
That's John Clayton out in Seattle. What a great job he does covering this league. Great insights. He thinks Seattle is the best team in that division.
Hmm. I mean, he's not the only one. I mean, there's some people that do. I'm on LA.
I mean, you almost can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Of course, Seattle and LA are probably slightly ahead of the other two, but we'll see how the 49ers quarterback situation goes. But this is a tough, tall order for the Colts and the Titans, of course, because the Colts are playing the Rams. So, very interesting Sunday coming up. Let's throw it to Darren.
Thank you, Willie. And you got the Giants and the Reds, and without the Reds, FTs tonight.
Mm. Almost had it.
You caught yourself.
I caught myself. I did. By the way, week one is over. We know that. But week two is getting cranked up, as I just said, tonight in Washington. Washington and the Giants. So here's the deal. Get ready for week two. DraftKings is your place. DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. And to kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. This is all you have to do. Just bet $1 on any football game. Could be tonight. This week and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet at least $1 on any football game. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. But you're going to need to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and use that code 1025 game to receive $200 in free bets when you place just a $1 bet on any football game. That promo code again, 1025 game, to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.